Well, hi, everybody. I'm John Davidson. And you know what? I am the next guest on Screen and Beyond. I'm excited.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak. This is episode 679 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, we have the one and only John Davidson joining us here. And now you remember John from That's Incredible. Remember, we had Fran Tarkenton on quite a few years back, and you can go back and listen to that episode. But he was on That's Incredible with John Davidson, and John will be joining us. John was also the host of Hollywood Squares for a time. He was on the TV show The Girl with Something Extra with Sally Fields. He was appearances on The Love Boat. He was in the movie The Happiest Millionaire. And it just goes on and on. We could, spend the whole half hour here talking about what he was in. But we're going to have him come here and talk about that and everything else he's been doing, what he's doing now. And it's going to be a lot of fun. John Davidson joining us in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. And I want to let you know that we have still the contest going on for the On Screen and Beyond crossword puzzle contest. And you time's running out, but you can get there. All you got to do is go to onscreenandbeyond.com. We have all the rules listed there, and we have the PDF that you can download with the crossword puzzle and has all the questions there and everything. But the thing is, if you don't know the answers, you can find them very easily. You can go to the specified On Screen and Beyond episode with that guest. And that question is answered in that show. Okay, so say Dr. Demento is one of them. I got my list here. Let me give you one here. We did the Dr. Demento one, but here's Mark Cuban, okay? We had Mark Cuban on, and so one of the crossword puzzle contest questions is, in episode 613, Mark Cuban was our guest. What did Mark say he had to do to become a shark on Shark Tank? He says it right in the interview. So all you got to do is go and listen to that. And, you'll have the answer for that one. And it's just, that's the way it is with all the other questions. And there's, let me see, total of about 19, something like that. And, so you can fill it out and then take a picture of it or whatever and send it back to me. Or send the PDF, however you want to do it, get it to me. Or if you don't know how to do all that stuff, changing it back, and sending it to me, taking a picture and all that stuff. If you don't know how to do that, all you have to do is just, write out the answers. But they have to be exactly as they fit into the crossword puzzle, all right? Because if... like I had said earlier in a couple of episodes ago, I said that if the answer was cow and you put the cow, well, I can't accept that. It has to be exactly so it fits into the crossword puzzle. So all you got to do is fill those out. Then of all the ones who have given us the correct answers to all the questions on the crossword puzzle, we will have a drawing for somebody, and that person will win an On Screen and Beyond logo hat, or, if you prefer, an On Screen and Beyond logo mug. And you can decide that once you, if you're the one who wins, and it's a lot of fun. So be sure to check it out at onscreenandbeyond.com. Everything is there. You'll figure out what the questions are and everything, and it's going to be a lot of fun, so try that out. Also, we have a lot of guests coming our way. If you have a suggestion for a guest, I would greatly appreciate you sending it to me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. That's how I get a lot of the people to be on the show, because you the listener, have sent me a suggestion. Now, I wish I could say I can always get these people on, but unfortunately, people have given me, you know, names, and I've tried. Some people even give me, you know, websites where these people have a website. And unfortunately, some of these websites are no longer active. A lot of people have abandoned their websites or whatever, and we don't get a reply, or it doesn't work, kicks back, whatever. So, you know, I'll do my best to try to get that person on, but I can't promise I can get them. But we'll, you know, we'll do our best. So if you want to do that, make a suggestion, send it to me at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. We have had a lot of people who have been suggestions, so we'll see what we can do. And if you just want to chat or something, you can also send me, you know, information or whatever, a question at feedback@onscreenandbeyond.com. That's how you get in touch with me. So that's about it as far as the housekeeping here, other than, you know, tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond and turn around and go ahead and follow or turn around and subscribe to On Screen and Beyond. And that way, as soon as, you know, I release the episode, the provider who you are getting your podcast from will send it directly to you immediately. So you don't have to look around, wonder if we're having a show or when the show is, or, you know, it's generally Sundays is when it comes out, but it could be, you know, that we delay for a day or two or three, or I'm on vacation or something. So you never have to worry about that. You will get the episode immediately. So that's the best way to do it. If you get a chance, leave a review. That would be great. A 5-star review always helps. Try to get more, you know, people to listen to On Screen and Beyond. And it also helps us get guests on here, because if they know a lot of people are enjoying and listening to the show, then they will come on the show. So help us out. Do what I can do. Hopefully you'll do what you can do. And let's get right into it. It's time for remakes, sequels, and prequels right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remakes, sequels, and prequels. Look for the remake of Blade to hit theaters on November 7th, 2025. Two-time Oscar winner Christopher Waltz will star in Dracula, A Love Tale. And Back to Black tells the story of the life of singer Amy Winehouse comes our way on May 10th. May 25th, Furiosa, the Mad Max saga, continues the Mad Max franchise, and the Garfield movie brings another one our way. It arrives on May 24th. And that's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, Bryce Dallas Howard, Orlando Bloom, and Sean Bean will star in a film about a group of improv players who are working for police doing sting operations. It's currently called Deep Cover. Charlotte Johansson will play a heroin addict in a film called Featherwood. And Bob Odenkirk will star in Normal as a temporary sheriff in a sleepy town whose bank is robbed, and then secrets start coming out. And that's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Movies on TV and DVD and streaming. It looks like Lost in Space, the reboot show version of it, is coming our way on April 9th. Doom Patrol, the complete series on Blu-ray on April 9th. And it looks like Doom Patrol, the complete fourth and final season, is also coming out on Blu-ray on April 9th. Affliction with Nick Nolte and Sissy Spacek comes to Blu-ray on April 16th. And March 19th, Rent-A-Cop with Burt Reynolds and Liza Minnelli goes to Blu-ray. And that's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and entertainment time.
Oh.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Bruce Dern, and I'm on Screen and Beyond.
TV and entertainment time. Producer Jack Bender of Mr. Mercedes fame is working on a TV show based on Stephen King's book, Holly. And Linda Hamilton will be in the cast of the final season of Stranger Things. And Dennis Quaid will play a real-life serial killer known as Happy Face on Paramount Plus. And the drama is being called Happy Face. And that's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we have the privilege of having John Davidson joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. So I hope you're going to join this one. It's John Davidson next, right here on Screen and Beyond. Our guest today on Screen and Beyond is an actor and a singer. He has also been in movies, on TV, on stage, and hosted multiple shows, including That's Incredible and Hollywood Squares. On TV, he was on The Girl with Something Extra, Love American Style, Daniel Boone, The Love Boat, and so many others. And on film, in Edward Scissorhands, The Concord Airport 79, just to name a few. It's John Davidson. John, welcome to On Screen and Beyond.
Well, thanks, Brian. It's a pleasure to be with you. My two Walt Disney films, I think, were the ones that your audience is probably a lot younger than I, and they're musical pictures. The Sherman Brothers wrote, of course, Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. and their next two musicals are what I did, The Happiest Millionaire with Fred McMurray and Leslie Ann Warren, and then Family Band, again with Leslie Ann Warren and Buddy Ebsen, Walter Brennan. So yeah, I did. My favorite movies were the ones that I did at the Disney Studios in the late 60s.
Oh, did you ever get to meet Walt?
Oh, yes. Happiest Millionaire was the last film that he was alive for. And he'd be at the commissary at another table having lunch with his cohorts. And he said, "Hi, John." And I'd say, "Hi, Walt." There's a thrill.
Wow.
And I mean, he was given lots of respect, but he was also just very loved and very down to earth guy. Unfortunately, he was a constant smoker. He smoked a lot of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came, while we were shooting, everybody said, "Walt is coming. Walt is coming." He's coming down to the set to watch some of the shoot. And it was pretty darn exciting. Then he died, and I did the next film after he died, when everybody was trying to figure out at the Disney Studios, what would Walt have done? You know, that's what happens. And of course, that's no way to run a corporation. So I guess finally, I think it was Michael Eisner who came in and got the studio back on track. But yeah, those were great years. There's a very different feeling on the Walt Disney. I would think there still is a feeling of kindness and a feeling of professionalism. And there were just, it didn't seem like there were petty arguments and things. Everybody's just trying to do the work. So that was a great experience.
Yeah. Did you notice any difference, though, when Walt wasn't there? I know you said they're trying to find the direction, but just the set in general, was it different?
Not really. I mean, we had less pressure on us, but no, everybody was just really trying to get it right. The directors and the prop people and the lighting director and the cameraman and everybody knew that it was, I mean, our careers were on the line and we all wanted to come off well. And everything was first rate at Disney. I would think it still is.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, even before that, when you were just a kid growing up, Did you ever in your imagination think that you would do all the things that you've done? I mean, you know, so many TV shows and movies and singing and Broadway and everything else. Did you even have any concept of that?
No, not really. I was a very shy kid. People used to make fun of my dimples, and that embarrassed me. And my dad was a Baptist minister. I grew up with three brothers, and all of us boys are atheists. We're not religious at all. But my dad was a very religious man, and my mother. They were both ordained American Baptist ministers, not Southern Baptists, but American Baptists, which is, in my mind, doesn't get involved in the dogma of religion, but it's anyway. So, yeah, my dad was a preacher, and the idea was, what are you going to do to help people? What are you going to do? What kind of a career? There's never any question that I would just get a job, but what is your career? My oldest brother graduated from Harvard and became a surgeon. My next brother graduated from Yale and became a mathematician, just in private schools, and master's in mathematical theories. And my other brother became a radiologist. My dad had his doctorate in the philosophy of religion. So I just have a BA, and but it was important to them that we all went to college. And but in college, I used to speak in churches. I went to Denison University in Ohio, and I was a member of what they call a deputation team. I used to speak in churches all over Ohio, and I gave three different sermons. And I think what I liked most about being, quote, religious, which I thought I was getting up in front of people and speaking. And I soon realized that I didn't want to go to funerals. I didn't want to visit people in hospitals. I just wanted to get up in front of people and have people listen to me and to move people with the things that I say. So I became a theater arts major originally to become a better preacher. And then I realized I really didn't have any religion. I took a course in comparative religions and came to the conclusion that it's all man-made out of fear. And so I've not been really religious, even though people thought I was in the early parts of my career. But I had no idea that this would develop into the career that I've had. I've been very lucky, started on Broadway in the 60s, and then a producer, Bob Banner, brought me to television in the late 60s. And then I just started hosting shows and doing movies and movies of the weeks. And of course, the series with Sally Field called The Girl with Something Extra. I played her husband, and she could read my mind. And it's been a great career. I've done also a lot of Broadway shows, playing the major roles in mostly in musical theater. It's been an incredible thing. I'm very grateful. I don't really know why. I have some talent, and I can do a lot of things well. I'm not a single, you know, some people are a spear. They do one thing really well, Tony Bennett or Joni Mathis. I try to be versatile and do it all. I'm more like a pitchfork or a Swiss Army knife. And so I think that's what's kept me going. And my favorite thing is performing live, like in my club. I have a barn in, as I said, in Sandwich, New Hampshire, called Club Sandwich, where if you go to johndavidson.com, you can find out about my barn, where I sing every weekend in June through September. But that's what I like best, is performing live. And I write songs now. I write 85% of the songs that I sing in my show, and I play guitar, and I love what I'm doing. I feel very lucky. I'm in my 80s now, and I'm very grateful to be alive and doing what I love doing.
Yeah, and you don't seem to want to stop. It seems like you just want to keep going, right?
Yeah, my voice lessons, I used to follow a guy named Dick Shawn. Dick Shawn was an actor and comedian, and he died on stage. He fell down, or he lay down underneath some newspapers. He used to do that for the intermission. He would lie on stage covered with newspapers, and then he'd get up and start the second act. And one time he didn't get up, and so he actually died on stage. I think I'd like to just fall over on stage one day, and I go, oh, where's John? Well, he's gone, you know. I don't know. I love doing it because people seem to like what I do. I've just written some new songs for my season 4 of Club Sandwich. I just wrote a love song that I'm just so proud of, and a couple of comedy songs. And as long as I keep enjoying it, I just want to keep doing it.
Yeah, and it must be incredibly intimate. You know, I mean, I presume this isn't like a, you know, 600 seat or 6,000 seat stadium that it's in.
No, we have 45 people. There are 45 people. It's all on couches. They sit on sofas. Everything is overstuffed. It's a very small barn. And I'm with a bass player, and I have incredible special effects. Scenic surprises. I have rear projection. It's a multimedia show, and so it's very entertaining, and it's always sold out. For the first 3 years, anyway, my shows, every one of them has been sold out. So It's small enough, you know, that I can fill it up, and I've never been this sold out. I guess if you pick a if you pick a space small enough, you can be sold out.
Right. But but for the audience, it must be quite an experience, just, you know, just to be up so close and personal.
Yeah, that was my purpose, is to get up close and really affect people with humor and with inspirational songs and with just songs about living your life and with meaning, songs about the human condition and a lot of comedy. And I sort of had to learn how to do that because, yeah, you're right. I'm so close to people. I spit on the front row all the time. I had to sort of tone it down because I came from Broadway. You know, Broadway is anything from 1,000 to 2,000 seats. I toured in Wicked. I played the Wizard in Wicked for a lot of productions. I did a lot of Broadway where you have to be big, but in Club Sandwich, I can be smaller, and I'm really loving that and singing more intimately. And we have a great sound system, but being in people's faces, you have to do material that is proper for that small venue.
Yeah. But it's now just so everybody knows that when you say a barn, you know, I mean, you don't have the couches and behind them is a cow that's wagging his tail while you're doing the show, right? I mean, this is more like Las Vegas type thing, right? Or Branson or something like that.
Oh, no, not that. But there's no cows. There's no horses. And it doesn't smell. I love the smell of a barn, but it doesn't smell. It's all cleaned out, but you can see. It's obvious. It's obvious that it was a barn. And it's a real barn. It's not like Las Vegas at all. I'm sort of doing folk country music, and I do very little Broadway singing. It's pop and folk and country and it's a real barn.
Yeah, sounds like a good time though.
Yeah, we guarantee that.
Yeah, great. Now, if people want to get tickets for that, where do they go for that?
Well, because we're so small, there is no box office at the theater. I mean, there is a box office, but it's just for giving them your name because you've already registered on my website. If you go to johndavidson.com, and then you click on Club Sandwich, you can buy tickets to any of the shows. We also live stream. We do live streaming of every show. And you can buy live streaming. It's very inexpensive, but you can see all the show is seen all over the world by live streaming every Friday and Saturday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time. We're the last weekend in June through mid September.
Wow.
You
keep busy. Jeez.
But I'm only doing the two shows a week, you know, I'm singing very easily now. I find that I've worked on my breathing, I guess because of my Broadway training. I tell a lot of young singers, make sure that you're singing on the air. Don't sing on muscle. Sing on the air. The voice is a wind instrument. And so you've got to fill your tank, which is your space above your diaphragm. You've got to keep filling that tank. And basically, you're blowing out air between vocal cords that vibrate and create the sound. And then you use your resonators and your face and your head. But you got to do it properly. So I'm singing more easily, I think, than I've ever sung.
Wow.
Yeah. It feels good.
Huh. Now, John, you have probably met more people, more big stars and sports people and everything else than a lot of people have. Of all the people that you've met, is there anybody that you know just blew you over? You were just in awe of being with this person?
Oh, I'm blown away with every star that I meet. I'm very intimidated by big stars, and yet I had my talk show. I replaced Mike Douglas in the afternoon for 2 years, and then I did the Hollywood Squares, where we had 9 stars on every show. Did that for 5 years. I was the second host. Peter Marshall was the first host, and then I was the second, and then Tom Bergeron was the third. But my center square was Joan Rivers. And so, yeah, I have met a lot of famous people. I guess what I look for in anybody, not just celebrities, but is somebody who's honest about themselves and about what they're doing and what they think, and who treats other people with honesty and who are professionals. I love that. I'm a big fan of Taylor Swift, and I think Taylor Swift's success, a lot, her songwriting and everything, is her honesty. She's so candid. Mm-hmm. I think that's the secret to great stars. And so a lot of, not a lot, but there is a group of famous people sometimes who are fearful of letting people get to know them. And I think that's the wrong way to go. I think, especially in today's social media and everything, the more people get to know you, I think that's the biggest thing that has changed about show business is social media and talk shows. People really get to know you personally. And if you're an asshole, I mean, that will come through. And you just have to, first of all, you have to find out what is your truth. What is your core? What are you really all about? And that's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it goes against what you look like. Sometimes you defy your looks. And behind that cuteness or that handsomeness or that plainness, behind that is the real you, which it can be many things. But to get in touch with that and be honest about that, those are the kind of celebrities that I like to meet. The people like Betty White, who's gone now, of course. But, I mean, there's so many people like that are just, yes, they're putting on, they're pretending. That's what acting, you're acting. But behind that is, I think, is a real honesty and a truth. And that's what works.
Yeah. And now, on Hollywood Squares, that show always seemed to be so fun. Everybody seemed to be having fun, and it was just, you know, just a riot to watch. And was there alcohol involved with any of these tapings here? Because, I mean, it really looked...
Well, yeah. Yeah. You see, we all of those shows, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Hollywood Squares, all the daytime, the syndicated shows, Mike Douglas, all they... We did 5 or 6 shows in a day. So on Hollywood Squares, because you're only seen from your waist up, we brought 5 different shirts, or the ladies bought 5 different blouses, and you go off and change, and you keep the same audience for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which takes about 2.5 hours. Then you change audiences, And the whole cast goes to a buffet dinner. And that's where you really get to know the stars on the show, because you're having a buffet dinner and you're sitting at a long table all together. And then you go and do Thursday and Friday after you've had some wine and some beer. So the fun of those syndicated shows are Thursday and Friday. Yes. I guess they are a little bit looser. But, of course, so many people, I guess everybody realizes, you couldn't give the stars the answers, but you could give them jokes, even though they didn't know what the question was.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd give them, you know, all of Paul Lynn's stuff was written. 99%. Of course, he would like throw in a funny comment, but so you couldn't give the stars the answers, but you could give them joke answers, and so that guaranteed a good show. And I the joy of Hollywood hosting Squares is something that Merv Griffin used to say: you got to make the stars shine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what your job is as a host, is not to be clever yourself in a talk show or a game show or whatever, is to make the stars shine. And I enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed setting them up to be funny. And I like that.
You were the pitcher just lobbing it in so they could smack that home run.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, another show that you were on, that's incredible. And it was incredible. That show really blew up.
Yeah, we were on for 5 years, and we were in the top 10 for all 5 years. And for the first five, we were on for 5 or 6 years. But for the first couple of years, we were in the top five of all the shows on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It had a tremendous rating, and a lot of young people watched it. So people in their 30s and maybe 40s, that's what they remember me from. So when I start to sing, they didn't know of my career before 1980, when I started on Broadway and when I had all these albums. I have a lot of singing albums and stuff. That's Incredible was hosted by me and by Kathy Lee Crosby. She was the lady on the show. It was the woman on the show. And the guy was Fran Tarkington, the great quarterback, the scrambler. And so Fran and John and Kathy Lee, we were the hosts. We were the co-hosts. And we got along great, and we would just knock out these shows. And they were phenomenal. They were showing human beings going the extra mile, physically and mentally, in their lives, and doing incredible things. We also showed some weird things and some unusual things. And then we got into dangerous areas when we showed people who are actually magicians trying to say that they really could read people's minds or whatever. You know, you're mm-hmm. close to death.
Yeah.
But so there were so some of it was, I think, was below our standards. But most of it was celebrating with joy human beings going the extra mile.
Yeah. Now, are there any certain events or segments of that show that, you know, will forever stay in your mind that you remember the most?
Well, we had Tiger Woods on when he was 4 years old, 4 or 5, with his dad. And that was to see the beginning of his career was incredible. I was locked in a cage with a Komodo dragon. It's a big lizard, which I think is endangered or whatever. And Kathy Lee locked the door of the cage, and I freaked out. It really scared me, even though this thing was so docile. We had a guy named Yogi Kudu, who was a yogi contortionist who was able to put himself in a plastic box, a foot and a half by a foot and a half and a foot and a half, to bend his body into this and then close the door. And to stay in there for 2 or 3 minutes, he claimed that he slowed down his heart rate in order to do it. Just a phenomenal people. And
did they try to get you to do it, to get in the box?
No, not that. But it was a lot of fun. It was very entertaining, and I was proud of That's Incredible, but I didn't sing on it. So neither that or Hollywood Squares did I sing on it. So
yeah,
my favorite thing is doing Broadway musicals or for doing my Las Vegas show. I was in Las Vegas in major showrooms, the Elvis showrooms at the Hilton. I was played Las Vegas for many years and developed my show, my act, and I was proud of those shows. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm loving doing Club Sandwich, because I love performing live.
Yeah. Actually, Fran Tarkenton was on my show, but it was probably 12, 13, 14 years ago. I can't remember how long ago it was, but it was a long time ago. But Fran was on, yeah. So
he's a sharp businessman. I'm sure you realize he has about 5 companies still. I mean, yes, he was a football player, but his greatest contribution to humanity is all these businesses. Very sharp guy.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, we see this person as a football star or something like that, maybe on a TV show or something, but we don't know all the other things that they do. And when we find out, it's like, wow.
And the other thing is, he was a preacher's kid. His dad was, I think, a Methodist minister. My dad was an American Baptist. So as preacher's kids, whenever preacher's kids get together, they try to show that they're not really goody-goody. So we try to fit as many dirty jokes and four-letter words into our conversation as we could, just to try to prove that we weren't, you know, apple pie. You know?
Yeah. Jeez.
Hello, this is Stephanie Powers, and you're listening to On Screen and Beyond.
It's just amazing, all the different shows that you've been on. We could go on forever, and I know we don't have time. You want to get back out in the sunshine. I know that. So nice and warm.
Well, I'm sitting here on my boat in La Paz, Mexico. I'm on my boat. I go back to New Hampshire to start Club Sandwich in May. But I'm on the boat all winter because my son and his family live here in La Paz. It's a 42-foot diesel trawler, and it's very small. It's not a luxurious boat, but I live on the boat, and I just love it. I love the ocean. I write songs. I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. I love the ocean, and I've written a lot of songs about the ocean. I'll never be Jimmy Buffett, but I'll my own little thing here. I write a lot of songs about the sea, and but this afternoon I have to go get some fuel. I am a power boat. I got to go pick up some diesel fuel, and I'm sure I'll be shocked by the price of diesel. But so I have a deckhand who works for me, and he and I are going to go take the boat to fill it up with fuel. So.
Yeah, well, safe travels on that. And John, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to talk to us. But I'd like to finish up with one final question, taking us away from all the things that you've done. And your Club Sandwich in New Hampshire, where people can go see you live and all that. But when you sit back and relax, what do you watch on TV? What's your favorite TV shows now and of the past? And what's your favorite movies now and of the past? What do you enjoy?
I think movies, I love watching movies, even though I came from the stage. Movies-wise, I watch on Netflix. I watch thrillers, crime thrillers, and a lot of history about the World War II years, the 1940s, anything that took place in Paris during the occupation, or films from about the Paris occupation, and films about World War II. The music I listen to is music that I can't do myself, like Pavarotti, classical music, and what was your question again exactly?
TV and movies. What do you enjoy watching?
TV has a lot of good programming, but I find that especially in the last couple of years with this with the ridiculous split in the country between conservatives and progressives. I'm very much a progressive, and I just can't believe how the country is so split. I'm so so sad what's happened.
Yeah.
And with the election coming up, I use television for news. So mostly what I watch on television is the news. And I think it's hard sometimes to figure out what is the real news and what isn't. And But you can find it. I mean, you realize which networks are overblowing stuff, and I think we know what is really happening usually.
Yeah.
But you can, so I watch television for news.
Well, John, I cannot thank you enough, and I thank you for sharing. And good luck, you know. On your little
thank
cruise
you,
to get your gas. All right.
Hey, I enjoyed talking to you. If no one has told you this already, you are very good at this. And thank you for listening, and thanks for setting me up to shine. I you're really good, man. Thanks.
And a big thank you going out to John Davidson for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. I don't know about you, but back in the day, That's Incredible was a show that, you know, I constantly watched it. It was one of those shows that you just had to see, and that was about the same time as all those real people was on, and you know, just so many of those shows, and they were just fun. And John also was in Hollywood Squares. It was a riot. It was a riot, and he was good. And it's a lot of different things that he did, and you saw him on a lot of variety shows and everything else. Just a great guy, and thank him so much for doing this with us here on Screen and Beyond. And we are at the end of another episode. Things are just rolling along here, and I hope you're enjoying all the episodes of On Screen and Beyond. So, if you want to help us out, tell a friend, download all the episodes of On Screen and Beyond, listen to them. Get in on the On Screen and Beyond crossword puzzle contest. You might win an On Screen and Beyond baseball hat with the On Screen and Beyond logo on it, or a coffee mug, whichever you prefer. And it's just, so many things are going on, and I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope you'll keep listening to On Screen and Beyond. So that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.